God's Word for You. We're going to return to the great Psalm and spend a little bit more time in Psalm 119. Today, verses 62 to 64, beginning at verse 62. At midnight I arise to give you thanks for your righteous judgments. Under the monasticism of the medieval church, worship in monasteries and convents was held every 3 hours, according to a, well, misapplication of various passages of the scriptures. Now, none of the passages were setting down any rules for the Christian church, but they were probably cited in the beginning as examples only to fill up a later verse in this psalm, which was, seven times a day I praise you for your righteous judgments. That's Psalm 119, verse 164. And as we will see, the seven times reference is really simply an expression of holiness or a way of saying many, but it was taken literalistically by the monasteries. Often the founders of such places were scholarly men, but the ones who took over after they died were not as learned or capable and made rules out of merely good ideas. Their 7 hours were first matins, or midnight, which is based on this verse, prime, 6 a.m., I think taken from Matthew 26:74 and the rooster crowing at the Passion. Then third was terce, or 9 a.m., the hour of the crucifixion in John 19:14, also the hour of the morning sacrifice in Exodus 29:39. Then fourth we had zext, or noon, when darkness appeared on the cross, Matthew 27:45. Fifth came nonce, or 3 p.m., when Christ died, for example, Mark 15:13. Seventh was vespers, around 6 p.m., the time of the evening sacrifice, also Exodus 29:39. And finally, seventh, Compline, 9 p.m., the after supper hour. And for that, we might look at Matthew 26, verse 30. Perhaps we'll discuss these a little more fully along with verse 164 later on. But to thank God for his righteous word is always a fine thing to do. We pondered a few of God's judgments along with verse 52, but consider these other ways we give thanks to God for his righteous judgments. First, when the numbers of unbelievers was growing at an alarming rate and the number of believers was dwindling down to just Noah and his family, the Lord judged the corruption and said that he would give the world another 120 years to repent and for sinners to turn to him in faith before he was going to destroy the world, Genesis 6:3. Second, God judged at that time that every inclination of the thoughts of fallen man is only evil all the time, Genesis 6:5. Third, although it gave the Almighty God himself great pain in his heart, he judged that he would have to destroy all that lived on the ground, men and animals, creatures that move along the ground, and birds, because he was grieved that he made them, Genesis 6:7. Fourth, purely out of his grace, God also judged that Noah's faith should be counted as righteousness, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith, according to Genesis 6:8 and Hebrews 11:7. Fifth, purely out of his grace, God gave Noah, who was a worker of the soil, the command and the design to build a boat that would float atop the flooding waters to rescue him and his family, along with many animals, Genesis 6:14-20. Sixth, God judged it to be right to give himself glory in the flood by commanding that there would be seven of every clean animal so that at the end of the catastrophe, his people could make sacrifices and worship him. That's Genesis 7:3 and 8:20. And seventh, through the judgment of the flood, God showed that if he could spare Noah and seven others when the rest of mankind was destroyed, that he also knows how to rescue godly people from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment. 2 Peter 2:9. Verse 63. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who keep your precepts. To keep God's precepts is to put our faith entirely on Christ alone, to follow and submit to all of the Holy Spirit's doctrines, especially the proclamation of law and gospel and the administration of the sacraments. Therefore, when we discover those who believe as we do, we call them friends and join with them in fellowship. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, purifies us from all sin. For as our confession says, the church is not merely an association of outward ties and rights like other civic governments, but it is mainly an association of faith and of the Holy Spirit in men's hearts. To make it recognizable, this association has outward marks, the pure teaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments in harmony with the gospel of Christ. This church alone is called the body of Christ, which Christ renews, consecrates, and governs by his Spirit. That's from the Apology of the Augsburg Confession. Verse 64. The earth is filled with your mercy, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. Well, the Holy Spirit declares that the earth is full of the Lord's creation and creatures in Psalm 104, full of the Lord's unfailing love in Psalm 33, full of the Lord's glory, that's the seraphim in Isaiah 6, and that in the end the earth will be filled with the full knowledge of the Lord, that's Isaiah 11:9. Here we remember that the whole earth is filled with the Lord's mercy as well. This is a reminder we need every day as we put down the old Adam in regular daily repentance. How miserable and desperate we would be if we only had guilt and not any hope. But the Lord is merciful, and the world is full of his mercy. Therefore, we are eager to listen to God's holy decrees, along with the rest of his marvelous word. 8 times in all, the great psalm makes a request that God would teach his decrees. Sometimes this is so that we will praise him for specific things God has done, like in verses 12 and 171. Sometimes it is so we'll confess our sins rightly and receive his forgiveness, as in verses 26 and 124 and 135. Sometimes it is purely to display God's goodness, verse 68. And sometimes it is so we will learn to use his law as a guide, the so-called third use of the law, like in verse 33. And here, once again, David looks to the Lord for his mercy, but also desires to keep God's commands. All this is done out of thanks for God's goodness, mercy, and blessings. For where the gospel has proclaimed forgiveness, the forgiven sinner responds with his life. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.